G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Give me an oi when you're there. So it says, then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds?" Now, is this the truth, what we're reading?
Yes.
It is. It's spoken by Jesus. Jesus is the truth, so he speaks the truth. And he's saying, don't worry about what you're going to eat. He said, don't worry about it. He said, you know, think about the ravens. The ravens don't sow. They don't reap, they don't have barns to store food, and yet God feeds them. And he's saying, of how much more value are you than the ravens? We need to remind ourselves of that. Sometimes we can get in situations where we have a need. And it's like, man, how am I going to do this? This bill is this much, or there's this situation that's going on in my family. What am I going to do about that? And here Jesus is talking to people and he's saying, how much more value do you have than ravens? If God looks after the ravens, don't you think he's going to look after you? But isn't it easy to forget that, hey, when you get in a circumstance? And you think, oh, what am I going to do here? What am I going to do here? And Jesus is saying here, when you get in those situations, remember. Remember the heart of God. Remember that what he's like. Think about how God looks after the ravens. And verse 25, "And which of you by worrying can add one cubit," or like 1 foot, "to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more," everyone say, "how much more?
How much more?
How much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith?" Jesus is really trying to paint some pictures here. And he's pretty much saying, you don't have anything to worry about. If God is looking after lilies that only last for one day and then they wither away and die, if God looks after ravens that don't sow and they don't reap and they don't have barns, if God's willing to look after them, how much more is he willing to look after you and the needs that you have? Whatever those needs are. I think sometimes we forget just how practical our God is. Yeah, I see this so much, I guess because I've preached in a number of different churches. It's just like Christians, they have this amazing ability, and I'm trying desperately to lose this ability, but they have this ability that when they come into church, they put some sort of shield over their head, and it's just like they're not willing to be practical. Yeah, God is very, very practical. He's not just interested in you getting to heaven. He's interested in you having heaven on earth.
Yes.
He's interested in you living out your life here on the earth. He's not just saying, look, just go mind your own business. When you die, we'll talk. And some people live like that. They live as if God is not interested at all in their life, that they've just got to make their own. I'll make my own way. I'm a self-made man. I'll make my own fortune. I'll make my own decisions. And you know, God will honor that because he's given you and I the freedom to choose. But his desire was never for you to be your own man or woman. His desire was never for you to make your own way. His desire was for you to learn how to hold hands with him and walk with him so that you can discover all of the awesome gifts and abilities he's put in you, and he will show you how you can activate those to your advantage. He's very practical. And he's concerned about your finances, he's concerned about your health, he's concerned about your family, he's concerned about the situation in your neighborhood, in your schools, in your workplace, he's concerned about all of those things. And it's sometimes Christians, I just notice, they have this ability to shield all of those things out, and they come to church and think, it's just about me and getting to heaven. No, it's not. And it's not about you just singing a couple of songs. That's not what it's about. This morning, if all you did was just sing some songs, well, you missed out. The purpose of the songs is to get you out of yourself to think about what you're singing and think like, God, you really are greater. We sang, our God is greater. Our God is greater. And to think, God, you're greater. That means you're greater than my situation that's going on in my family. You're greater. You're greater. And thinking about those, that's the whole purpose of worship, is to get you out of your circumstances, start getting into the presence of God where you realize, man, God, this is just nothing too difficult. And when you start to see your eyes begin to open up with all of that stuff, then you start getting excited. That's when a smile starts beaming on your face. And it's like you can't hide it, because it's just like, man, God, you're awesome. So Jesus is talking about all these things, and he's saying, how much more will he clothe you? And verse 29, it says, and do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. This is so tied in with the vision that Joy had. See, the world is chasing after the money, isn't it? The world is chasing after the possessions. The world is chasing after positions. Yeah, I'm the executive vice president of this, and I'm the general manager of this, and I'm the state manager, and all these the world wants all of that sort of stuff. They want look at my car, I've got this car, I've got this boat, I've got this house, and the world is looking and running after all of these things. And Jesus is saying, God knows what you need. Yeah, and God doesn't have a problem with you having those sort of things, does he? Is that right? God does not have a problem with you having it. The problem is, if you get so consumed, you don't want to become like the world where you're just running after those things and they become your obsession. It's like you're thinking about that night and day. And Jesus said, your Father knows that you need all of these things. He said, the nations of the world seek after all of these things. And he says, but seek the kingdom of God and all of these things shall be added to you. That's walking on the platform that Joy saw in the vision. Walking on the platform means that you're not thinking about, man, I need that car, I need that house, I need that promotion, I need that opportunity. If I could just have that opportunity, if it could just land in my lap, then my life would be complete. I just need that big screen TV. If I could have that 60-inch TV, then I would be happy. And it's just like it never ever stops, hey, because the world's chasing after that. Jesus is saying, get on the platform, walk above those things, seek first the kingdom of God, and those things will be added to you. And that's certainly been our experience, that as we've just walked with God and sought him first, he has added to us without us having to go and chase those things. And I'll share more about that as we go on. Verse 32, it says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's reluctance to give you the kingdom. Is that what it says? It says, your Father begrudges to give you the kingdom. Is that what the scripture says? Do not fear, little flock. For your Father, if you pray and fast on your knees and recite the Hebrew text 15 times a day, then he will give you the kingdom. Doesn't say that, does it? There are things that people add. Well, they may not add the Hebrew text and stuff, but they'll add like, oh, you've got to do this, and you've got to do this, and we've got to do all of these things. We've got to perform, otherwise God's not going to... And here Jesus say, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants you and I to do well. And I want to show you things about that in the Word of God this morning. God desperately wants, and you think about it, I mean, Jesus is talking about God as being your Father. That was so different, because people knew God as Creator. But to think of God as Father, that means there's relationship there. God, you know, I think about myself as a dad, and I want to see my kids do well. I want to see them really do well in their work. I want to see them do well in school. I want to see them do well in every way. And you're looking for ways to bless. When you're a parent, that's what you want to do. You just want to. You can't help it. You will do without yourself in order to do something for your child. And Jesus is trying to illustrate that. It's your Father's good pleasure. Don't fear. It's your Father. It's not. He's not reluctant about you doing well. He wants to help you succeed. He wants to help you. And that is awesome. That's inside information. God wants to give you inside information in your job. He wants to give you inside information in your business. He wants to give you the tools that you need in order to be successful. And that's what he's talking about. And then in verse 33 he says, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want to share with you this morning. Hang on, I'm just in the wrong place. Just give me. I want to share with you this morning about heaven's economy. And it'll actually be a few parts to it. I did actually preach a series on this a couple of years ago, but just God's given me so much more revelation about this, and I just feel like I'd like to update it and share more about it. And so there's definitely going to be at least three parts to it. I want to share this morning about understanding heaven's economy, and then I want to talk about connecting to heaven's economy, and then I want to talk about flowing in heaven's economy. How do you do that? And so let me just read this out, because this is something God actually told me to share with you. If you listen carefully to the things that I'm going to share from the Word of God, and you meditate these things, you put it into practice, you're going to see a turnaround in your finances, hey?
Amen.
You're going to see a turnaround in your health, in your relationships. You're going to see a turnaround in a number of different areas in your life. And particularly with your finances, because that's actually what God has told me to share about in this series, hey? And that's not from me, that's from God, hey? And so, understanding heaven's economy, I'm going to give us some understanding. We're going to explore that a little bit. Let me just say before we get into it, you know, this is such an important area, because we are coming into a time that if you ask people in the world, if you ask leaders, economic leaders, economic forecasters, they would be saying that this is a time of great uncertainty. In fact, probably the last 20-25 years has been a time of increasingly greater uncertainty. Economists are having greater and greater difficulty predicting what's going to happen. It was like 30 years ago, and a little more than 30 years ago, economists felt like they had a handle on understanding the economy of a nation and the economy of a state or a community, and they understand certain things. You put certain things in place, you can drive down unemployment, or if you do other things, you can drive up inflation or drive it down. They understood certain things, but now, it's just certainly in the last 20-25 years, it's just like they're going into uncharted waters, and they think they're trying to use the same strategies that they were taught in the universities, and it's just not working to the extent that it used to work. So this is a time of great uncertainty, and this is why this series of messages is so important. The world has a way of people handling their finances, but God has a way too. And that's what we were reading about in Luke chapter 12. And this whole area is so important to understand and recognize what is God's way of handling finances. I'm going to be focusing on finances, but I want you to understand when we talk about heaven's economy, it is much more than just that. I'm going to be focusing on that because that's what God's put on my heart. But when we talk about an economy, an economy is managing the resources of something. If you talk about the economy of Australia, you're talking about how do you manage the resources? How do you manage the agricultural resources? The wheat, the barley, the sugar, the corn, all of those things. How do you manage the minerals that are mined? How do you manage the human resources? Unemployment. How do we keep that down so we don't have people out of work and people are just struggling to find jobs? How do you manage the finances? How do you manage the health care? When you talk about an economy, you're talking about all of those things. And heaven's economy touches all of those things. Heaven's economy has to do with your health. Heaven's economy has to do with your finances. Heaven's economy has to do with your career, with your family, with everything. I'm going to be looking particularly in the area of finances because that's what God's put on my heart. But I want you to understand that. And this message is important because we are entering such an uncertain time in terms of the economy of nations. Hey? We need to learn how to connect and flow in heaven's economy. You do not want to be flowing and connected to the world's economy, particularly because it is so uncertain. I'm going to prove that to you over the next few weeks. I'm going to share with you cases of people that have learned how to flow and connect to heaven's economy, and when the global financial crisis hit, they were undeterred in what happened to them. When you're connected to heaven's economy, you're not affected by what's happening in the world. That's the awesome thing. And that's what Jesus is saying in this whole passage that we've read. He said, don't worry about it. He said, the ravens don't sow and reap. They don't have barns, but God looks after them. This is a totally different economy when we look at heaven's economy. But we need to understand what is heaven's economy and how does it work. It's about your well-being. It's about your social well-being, your spiritual well-being, your physical well-being, your emotional well-being, and your financial well-being. Hey, heaven's economy, let me say some things of what it's not. Heaven's economy is not, when we talk about finance, it's not learning how to leech off others. God is not an expert moocher. He doesn't mooch off anyone. He doesn't need your money or my money, does he? He doesn't need your resources or my resources. He gives us opportunities to partner with him in opportunities in sowing financially, but they're often not only going to be a blessing to others, but it ends up becoming a blessing to us as well. And so heaven's economy is not learning, there's some people, and I think it's particularly in this whole, in the faith movement, there are some people who just haven't learned how to depend on God. Let me explain that. We all get to these situations. You're trusting God for a certain thing to happen in your life, and it's delaying. It doesn't seem to be happening. What do? You start getting into your own mind, don't you? You start thinking, now what can I do? Maybe I need to be doing something else. And you start trying to work out how God could possibly solve your situation, that you can lend God a helping hand in solving that situation. And what happens? You get into self-effort and you actually foul up the whole thing. And soon it's just like, man, it's just a mess. Nothing worked. I was trusting God in this area, but you weren't. There's a temptation for everybody to get like that. Abraham and Sarah did that. God promised them a child. Oh, it seemed to be years. Yeah, God, we've heard that. You told us that 25 years ago. Nothing's happening. And so they got it into their own heads. Well, maybe we need to do some things. Maybe we're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. Abraham, look, my servant, she's young and fruitful. Why don't you just go and have relations with her? She'll have a baby and we can adopt that baby and he can be our baby. And maybe that's how God's going to... And it made a mess. The mess we have in the Middle East is thanks to what Abraham did that night in the desert. God has a way of doing things, and he doesn't need you or I trying to foul it up through our own self-efforts and our own ideas. Hey, just learn to do things God's way. And I've seen some preachers, particularly in this whole area of leeching, it's just like they say they're living by faith, but they live by faith by hint. You know what I mean by that? It's like you go up to someone and you go, oh, brother, that's an awesome top. I barrack for the Sharks, hey? That's a great top, hey? How much did that cost you? Oh, yeah, I'd love to get a top like that. You're about my size too, aren't you? See, that's faith by hint. Hey, I'm believing God for a top just like that. My size too, hey? That looks new, actually. Yeah, I'm believing God. If God ever talks to you about giving me that top, brother, just... And that's faith by hint. That's leeching. And God is not a leech, and he doesn't want you to be a leech either. When we're talking about flowing in heaven's economy, I want you to understand, we're not talking about dropping hints to people about what you want. And then they give it to you and you go, oh, wow, praise God, I was praying just for this. A Shark's top, that's awesome. Heaven's economy is not about finding the cheapest deals. This is something that I have to constantly renew my mind. We ought not to be making decisions based on our finances. God wants you to live at a level that you couldn't afford to live at in your natural circumstances. And if you're living just within your means and that's all, and you need to hear this whole entire series, because don't take me out of context, because there's some balance in this. But I want you to understand there are projects that God will lead you to undertake that it is impossible for you to ever accomplish them unless God showed you how to do it. And that's what He wants for you and I. Why does He want to do that? So that you've got a God story to share. When people say, oh, well, you did that because this happened or that happened. And you go, no, well, actually, I didn't do that. But and then there's no explanation. They just have to say, that just must have been God, because I can't explain it. And that's what God wants for you. I remember, you know, I was believing God. When I was a chaplain, the Lord said to me one time, and I don't want to go the whole story, but I have shared it before. He said to me, I'm going to get you a brand new plasma TV. And it was a big screen, and I told all these students, I said, God's going to get me a plasma TV. And they said, yeah? You go, how's God going to do that? And I said, I don't know. I said, you just watch and see. I said, God's going to do it. And sure enough, it came. I remember there was this one guy who was just a bigger skeptic, hey? And then that TV came in, and then a little after that, I received a gift. The staff actually gave me a gift, and they bought a brand new Nintendo Wii for me to play on the big screen TV. I'm paid to play games. It was an awesome job. And then somebody else sewed like an Xbox into me and all of these things. And this guy who was just, he was not a non-believer and a skeptic. And he was watching these things happen. And he came to me one day when no one else was around. He goes, you know how God did all those things? I go, yeah. He goes, do you reckon God will get me a new car? He goes, can you ask Him to get me one? I go, why don't you talk to Him, mate? He wants to talk to you. God wants to give you stories that others find too difficult to explain. But you're not gonna experience that unless you learn how to connect and flow in heaven's economy. If everything you do is just through your own ability, there's no testimony in that. There's plenty of people doing that today. But for you to begin to function and begin to do things, and people are saying, how are you doing it? And you go, I don't know. And they try to work it out and they don't know either, then suddenly they're going to start scratching their head and thinking, well, maybe God really is helping you, because they can't find an explanation. He wants to do that in your studies. He wants you to do that in your workplace. He wants that to happen in your family, in every situation in your life. For you to have an extraordinary life where it's just supernatural things are occurring. And people are saying, wow, that's got to be God, hey. Heaven's economy is not always miraculous, but it is always supernatural, and there's a difference. I'll just share a little bit now, and I might share maybe in another week and go into more details. There's a difference between miracles and the supernatural. Everybody wants a miracle, right? Because miracles are so flashy. They're just like, whoa, you know, like supernatural is not always flashy, right? But a miracle, God doesn't want you to live from a miracle to a miracle. He doesn't want you to have a car that needs a miracle every day to start. He wants you to supernaturally be provided for a good car that just works and it works well. He doesn't want you believing for a miracle for healing every day because there's just new things that are occurring in your body. He wants you to be living supernaturally a healthy lifestyle where it's like, you know what? I can't remember the last time I took a Panadol. I can't remember the last time I went to the doctors. There's a difference between miraculous and supernatural. And when we're talking about heaven's economy, we're talking about a supernatural lifestyle. We're not talking necessarily about the miraculous, but that can occur. I want you to understand that. And if it's supernatural, that means it's above and beyond the natural. Hey. So, heaven's economy, I want to give you some definitions of it. We've talked about what it's not. Heaven's economy is basically doing things God's way. An economy is managing the resources. Heaven's economy is managing your resources God's way. Managing your time God's way. Managing your relationships God's way. You know, managing your relationships, that means if you're doing it God's way, there are going to be times where God will want you to go and accept responsibility for what you did wrong. You know, 5 hardest words to say in the English language? I'm sorry, I was wrong. Everybody wants to add a 6th word. What is it? But. I'm sorry I was wrong, but if you didn't do that, I wouldn't have done that. Your fault. To manage relationships in heaven's economy means that you are willing to take the hit and accept responsibility for things you've done wrong without a butt. Get your butt out of it. That's heaven's economy. Managing relationships God's way. Managing your finances God's way. Managing what you do at work God's way. You know, if you were doing things connected to heaven's economy, you wouldn't be clocking off early from work. If you were a boss, would you like people clocking off early? I know some people that they start to pack up 15 minutes before it's time out. Pack up, do everything, and then the last 5 minutes they just sit down, read the papers or have a chat. That's not heaven's economy. If you were a boss, you've got to think about it. If you were a manager, you were a boss, would you want people doing things like that? You wouldn't. You're paying them up to this time. You want them to work up to that time. See, heaven's economy is very different to the world's economy. In the world, it's just standard procedure. That's what you do, bro. We got 15 minutes. We ain't packing up in our time. We'll pack up in the... Yeah, I mean, you could be paid to pack up and do all those things. But, I mean, you work because you're paid to work. You do the things. And, in fact, really, if you're connected to heaven's economy, you do over and above. That's what God's like, hey? God is not a cheapskate. He's not a skinflint. He's not tight-fisted with finances. He's generous with everything that he does. And certainly in our lives, we have seen his generosity pour forth, whether it's been in finances or in healing or in anything else. He has been more than generous. He hasn't just given us like, this is just enough for you and don't you complain. And God wants us to be the same. He wants us to be generous in the way we do things and honorable in the way we do things. Being connected to heaven's economy means we manage our resources God's way. And there's a difference between God's way and the way the world does it. Is that right? Let me give you some examples of this. So I've got another series that I'm hoping to preach sometime when the Lord releases me that goes into details with these, but I'm just going to share them. So like God's way, it says believing is seeing, but the world says no, seeing is believing. It's totally different. Hey, the world says, you know, I'll only believe if I can see it. God says, you'll never see it unless you believe it first. It's completely different. God's way, well, actually, the world says you've got to live for yourself. God says, no, you've got to die to yourself. Heaven's economy is totally opposite. If you're going to learn how to connect and flow, you have to change the way you think and start thinking in terms of the way things occur in the kingdom of heaven. In the world, it says leaders should be rulers. But in heaven's economy, it says leaders should be servants. And the world says first in is best dressed. In heaven's economy, the first is last. In the world, they'll say, well, you just say what you have. If you have problems, just say it. And God says, no, you're going to have what you say. If you say you've got problems, that's what you're going to have. You're going to have problems. That's so different, hey? Power's in our tongue. Death and life in the power of our tongue. Is that right? I could go on about that, but I'll keep going. The world says the only way you're going to increase is by getting all you can, canning all you get, and sitting on your can. And God says, no, give, and it'll be given to you again. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So we need to understand heaven's economy, that it is totally different. There's lots of other things I could share about that, but I just wanted to give you some introduction to that. Heaven's economy is a totally different way of thinking and approaching things, eh? Yeah, the blessing of being connected to heaven's economy is it's not dependent on your job. It's not dependent on your health insurance. It's not dependent on what side of the highway you were born in. It's not dependent on what inheritance that you may have, if you have any inheritance. It's not, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're unemployed. It doesn't matter whether you've got a great education. It doesn't matter whether you're a student or whether you're a housewife. It doesn't matter whether you're a blue-collar worker or a white-collar worker. Heaven's economy is independent of any of those things. And I know people who are blue-collar workers who have their own personal jet because the only way they can accomplish what God has called them to do is by having a jet. And it wasn't because they did overtime in their factories to save up for... You can't save up for a jet if you're a blue-collar worker. But when you're connected to heaven's economy, things flow supernaturally to you. Whatever you need comes to you. And so that's great news. It's not dependent on what sort of job you've got. It's not dependent on the position that you have. It's not dependent on your assets. You go to the bank to try to get a loan, they want to know, well, what do you own? How much do you earn? How much do you owe? We want to work all of these things out to see whether you could. God doesn't say any of those. He's just saying, you learn to flow with me. I'll provide whatever you need and then some. Think about some of the stories that you read in the scriptures. Joseph was an imprisoned slave in a foreign nation. He was imprisoned. He'd been in Egypt for over a dozen years, and he'd served at least four or five of those years in a prison, and yet overnight he became the second most powerful man in Egypt. And the archaeological records bear witness to what the Bible says. There was a Hebrew man that became the minister of finance during Egypt's greatest time of financial need, and that was Joseph. God gave him wisdom and led Egypt into the greatest years of prosperity they ever had. How can an unsupported widow, not on Centrelink, not on a widow's pension, this is in Bible times, how can an unsupported widow cook 1,000 meals over a period of a few years for her, for her son, and for the man of God? Because she was connected to heaven's economy. How can a little boy's lunch feed 15,000 people? What did he have? Like, his lunch was in a truck, a semi-trailer? Is that what it was? It was a little boy's lunch. Five little pita breads and two fish. And there was so much food, they collected 12 baskets left over. I want you to understand heaven's economy. It's a very different way of doing things, but it produces extraordinary results. How can a lady received healing in her body when she spent all the money she had at doctors and got no better? And all she did was just went and touched someone's clothing and she got better. It makes no sense. How can a family receive their loved one back from the dead? We're serving a God that nothing is impossible for him. It's never ever too late. Even when someone dies, it's never too late. What an awesome God that we serve. And he wants us to learn how to connect with him and flow in that economy where nothing is impossible, where all of the dreams that he's put in your heart of you accomplishing, those dreams when you were a little kid and you thought, someday I want to do that. It just seems like the older you've got, the further that dream's got away from you. And yet God is saying, I'll make those dreams come to pass because I'm the one that gave you those dreams. But you're going to have to learn to connect to heaven's economy. You're not going to be able to do it the way the world does it. Let me just say too, you know, when we talk about heaven's economy and we're talking about finances, God wants you to increase financially, but that increase is not intended for you to just spend on your lusts. And that's really important for you to understand. It's not just like, oh man, you know, if you're thinking about, man, I want to just make it big so I can just buy that big boat, I want to buy that massive house, and I want to have a holiday home here, and I want to do this, and I want to, and if all you're thinking about I, you have missed it. Heaven's economy is about thinking outward, not inward. You're going to have more than enough residual coming through to you where you're going to be blessed and you can have the boat and the house and things, but if your motive, your underlying motive is just me, let it come to me, you've missed heaven's economy. Heaven's economy is about you being a pipeline of blessing, not a dam to store up. And the moment you start getting tight-fisted, you're going to find the flow will reduce. It's all about given out. God is a giver and he wants us to learn how to flow in that. Hey, and so you know, besides that, it is incredibly powerful and satisfying when you're in a position to bless others. It is incredibly satisfying to be able to go bless someone financially or materially, not for the pat on your back, but just to be able to do that and to be used of God in that area. Hey, and God wants us to be channels of his love, not a dam to hoard things up for ourselves. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right, I'm just going to wrap up. I want to just share a couple of stories about... Actually, let me show you a couple of scriptures and then I'm going to wrap up. Hey, have a look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Are you getting something out of this morning? Hallelujah. Colossians. So verse 9, chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 9. Give me an oi when you're there. All right. And this is Paul. And he says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Yeah, let me just say this is before we go much further with this. This is a prayer that Paul was praying. If you ever wondered about how should I be praying for myself and you're not sure, here's a good place you could start. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9, and pray this over yourself. God, I pray that you give me wisdom and understanding and revelation in the knowledge of you. And begin to pray through this prayer. Fill me with the knowledge of your will. And verse 10 he goes, "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work." Say, being fruitful in every good work. Notice, God wants you to be fruitful in every good work. God's desire for you is to connect with heaven's economy and begin to be fruitful. He wants you to be fruitful in your family. He wants you to be fruitful in your workplace. He wants you to be fruitful in your business, in your relationships. He wants you to be fruitful in the things that you do. And that's why I pray. Some people say, "Well, you know, look, I don't think it's very good to have too much money, you know, like, you know, too much money can really spoil you." No, it's not too much money that can spoil you. It's the love of it. The scripture says it's the love of money that becomes the root of all evil. God has no problem. In fact, you read through the Old Testament, every single person that served God in the Old Testament became incredibly successful and wealthy to boot. God has no problem with that. And here in this scripture, you know, if God had a problem with you being successful, why would he lead Paul to write down this prayer that you should be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God? I want you to look at 3 John. It's two books before Revelation. You know, I've heard some people say, "Well, you know, look, you know, it's not God's will for you to have, to be doing really well. It's not God's will for you to be prospering." Well, this is a scripture that just completely undermines all of that. 3 John verse 2, give me an oi there. "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in a few things." Is that what it says? "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in what?" In most things. Does God want us to prosper in most things? In all things. You know, if God didn't want us to prosper, why would he allow someone to write this down and become part of the Bible? "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things." God wants you to do well. When you connect it to heaven's economy, prosperity is going to flow in every area of your life. It's going to flow into your health. It's going to flow into your finances. It's going to flow into your job. And you find even if you lose your job, it's only because God wants to open up something even better for you. "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things." I've heard some people say, "Well, you know, I don't need to be rich. As long as I've got food on the table and clothes on my back, I'm going to be happy." And that sounds really humble, hey, but it's really selfish. If God wants you to prosper in all things and you're saying, "I just want enough for food on my table and clothes on my back," well, then you're not taking all that God wants to give you. There's no reason. You don't have to keep it. If you think, "Oh, I just want clothes on my back and food on my table," give the rest away. Give it to me. I'll help you out. But if all you're doing is using your faith to believe for food on your table and clothes on your back and no more than that, and you have not given a single brass razoo out to anyone else, well, you are an incredibly self-centered person. Heaven's economy is about being a giver and a lover. God wants to extend his love through you to others. And you use your faith to believe God for the resources to be able to do that. And you don't have to have millions in the bank to start to do that. But you'll find that if you start doing that, you'll be giving away millions eventually. I want you to see this in the scriptures, that this is God's desire. He wants you to do well. In John chapter 15, we're not going to turn there, but in John chapter 15, Jesus said, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." God's not glorified when you're a failure. God's not glorified when you turn up to work consistently late. God's not glorified when you're slacking off in the things you do. God is not glorified when you've made a promise to someone to do something and you fail to do that, but you've got 17 good reasons why you couldn't. We need to be people of our word like God is of His word. Is that right? And in fact, this is one of the reasons why people fail to see the word of God working in their life effectively, is because they're not people of their own word. If you have trouble believing what you say, you're going to have trouble believing what others say. And so when you read what God has to say, you have trouble believing it. Start being a person of your own word. When you give a promise, when you say something, go ahead and do that. Even if it's going to cost you, you do it. And you find faith for God's word increases, and all of a sudden His word starts working in your life at a much greater level. Jesus said, "My Father is glorified when you bear much fruit." He wants us. We read in right at the start in Luke chapter 12, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants you to do well. Let me finish with this. I was going to share a couple of stories, but I think I'll just share one and then we'll just wrap up. This trip to the United States was just a tremendous example of some of the things that we have just been talking about with regard to this. When we received the invitation to go to the United States, we didn't make that decision based on our income. In fact, when we looked at our income, we couldn't see how we could ever go to the States. How could we get the tickets? How could we... It was going to cost around about $10,000 to do it. Last year we did it, and we did it for the same thing. What I'm talking about this year, you could say it again for the year before. We'd done it the year before. Again, it was going to cost around about 10 grand. We didn't have that money. We didn't make it based on our income or what we had on the bank. We made it based on one thing. We prayed and we sought God and we had a confirmation that He said, "I want you there." That's your connection to heaven's economy. And so we made the decision, well, we're going. We don't know how we're going, but we're going. God wants us there, we're going to be there. We're going. And we just started declaring that, telling people, we're going. We're going to the States. We're going. We're going in January. We did the best that we could. Like, I don't want you to misunderstand. God was supplying for us abundantly, but He was supplying our needs, but it didn't seem to be too much more than that. Anyway, we ended up, someone sowed like $1,000 into us. We didn't say anything. They sowed it into us, and money came in through some different channels, and we ended up getting the tickets. And that was in early November. We thought, yes, we're going. We got the tickets. We're going. And like from early November, for the rest of the year, nothing more came in. I do remember Pete got up. He really had in his heart to have a box there and people could sow financially. And there was about $300 or $400 that came in through that. But that wasn't anything measuring up to like the $7,000 that we needed. We were really grateful. And for those of you who sow, that's awesome. Precious seed. But I want you to understand, other than that, nothing else was coming in. It's not like we were doing without. We have a budget, and God was meeting our budget, but it just didn't seem like anything extra on top of that budget was coming in. For weeks upon weeks upon weeks, coming right up to Christmas, we went through Christmas. We had a great Christmas. We had an abundant Christmas, but it just didn't seem like every time we wanted to put something aside for the States, it didn't seem. We had the tickets, but nothing else was coming in. But we knew one thing. We knew God wanted us to go. That's all we knew. And we had the tickets. And I said to Joy, I said, "Mate, if we have to fast in the USA, we're going. We're going." And so we, you know, and it got, went through New Year's. First week, we were due to leave on the 18th of January. First week of January went by, nothing had come in. Second week of January, and we were standing. We were just saying, "Well, God, you told us to go. You said you needed us there. We're going. We've got the tickets. We're going. We didn't know how we were going to get out of the airport. Like, we had no other finances. We didn't know how we were going to get out of the airport. We would land in Fort Worth and go, what are we going to do now? And don't you think the devil was trying to harass us with that? But see, when you're connected to heaven's economy, you don't care about what's happening around you. Remember when Joy had cancer and they said it was inoperable? You don't care about what anybody else is saying. When you're connected to heaven's economy, you put God's word first and you do what he tells you to do. He's not a fool. He knows what he's doing. And so we just began to rejoice. Second week of January, we just began to rejoice. God, you're just so faithful. You're so good. We don't know where this is going to come in. It got to 8 days before we were due to leave, and nothing, not even enough to get travel insurance. And it's not like we were doing without in our week to week. Our week to week was being taken care of, but it just didn't seem like we could get. It seemed ridiculous. It felt like we were standing on the train tracks and there's a train coming right towards us. In the natural, that's what it felt like. And we had to work hard to stay out of that. Listen, I want you to understand, you know, when you connect to heaven's economy, it's simple, but it's not always easy. Because sometimes it just looks ridiculous. Yeah, when we were in the hospital and they were saying to Joy, you're going to die within a few days. It looked ridiculous for Joy to point her bony finger at them and say, I'm going to live, I'll be fine, you don't worry about it. In fact, one of the ladies, the head of the medical department, was saying, honey, you don't understand. And Joy said, and she came home, and Joy gave her a big hug and said, it's going to be all right, don't worry. When you're connected to heaven's economy, it doesn't matter what's happening around you. If you've heard from God, you just move forward and do the things that you need to do. Well, it got to the week before we were due to leave, the Sunday before we came to church. Micah had these striking visions. Was it when I was preaching? Is that when it started? Why don't you get up? Come and get up and share some of the things you saw.
So I had three. Yeah, we didn't know Mum and Dad were having trouble, like, having any trouble with finances or anything. But
well, we weren't. But the money.
But for the trip for the States, and the Sunday before they left, I saw like three visions. Like, one was like a really massive angel standing behind them, and like he was just like huge, like he was just standing behind Dad, and like he disappeared, and then he appeared a second time and like kind of furled his wings around Dad, and he was like massive. He had like a big breastplate and had this weird little face frame that like, it wasn't a crown, it was like a little frame that went around his forehead and went down his face as well. And he was in like a tunic, but his like limbs and stuff looked like the size of tree trunks. They were huge. And then the third vision was I saw Dad dressed in golden armor, just like decked out. Well, it was a half and half. The first one was of him in like a robe, like a golden robe or tunic. And it was really flashy, and Dad also had something around his head. And then the second one was him in armor, and he had like swords in sheaths on his back, and he was just decked out. And it was pretty amazing. And Dad was speaking, but I was just like, so it was pretty cool.
So he saw that, and he actually, Micah shared with us when he shared the vision. He said, "I believe it's got something to do with your trip to the United States." And I believe this angel is somehow connected to it. Well, from that moment onward, over the next few days, there was just a tremendous turnaround in the whole situation. That morning, I think there was about $100 or a little bit more than that that people had put in the box. But then the next day, like $400 came in, then $500 from somewhere else. Then a couple of days after that, $3,500 came in. And just from unexpected sources, these are non-Christian sources. And no one, like we had communicated with no one what our situation was. We had asked no one. We weren't looking for it. We said, God, you're the one. This was your idea. You told us to go. And it's like, the long and short of it is, by the time we got to the end of that week, we had more than enough to meet everything that we... Everything. In fact, we had booked, we'd kind of booked everything tentatively. All we needed was the money to be able to get it done. And that week, Everything was done. We went to the United States, and those of you on Facebook, you saw the time that we had. We did not do without a single thing. Everything we desired in our heart to do, we did in the United States. And really, for us, it was just another reminder that God was saying, when you're connected to my economy, you're not going to be short. You're never going to be short. We were not short leading up to the trip. In any of our personal commitments or anything, we were not short at all. But it just seemed like going to the States, it seemed like nothing was coming in. But God was just saying, just trust me. This is my idea. I'll do it. And it just came in. I want to be sharing with you over the next few Sundays about how to connect and how to flow in this, because this is God's desire for you and I to flow in it. There is coming in this last end time before Jesus returns. God is looking to raise up men and women who are willing to flow in this, who can finance this last great move of God. Hey, it takes money to preach the gospel. Hey, evangelists can't just go to different towns and cities on nothing. They have to believe God, and God has to raise up other people. In fact, Peter Daniels is one of the people that God has raised up. And Peter Daniels has a vision. He's training up. He's in the process and has been for the last about 6-7 years. And his vision is to raise up 1,000. He's going to mentor 1,000 people who will become multimillionaires, who will furnish the expansion of the kingdom of God and furnish the spreading of the gospel throughout the earth. Eh? God is looking to raise up people who are willing to flow in his economy, not for themselves, but to be a pipeline of blessing to others. Hey, and I believe he wants to use you and I. Say amen if you believe that. Hey, let's stand up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to lead you in a prayer now. This is a prayer just expressing a desire for God to learn and to flow in this. If that's your desire, then when you say this, it's like you're connecting with God in this area. So I want you to repeat after me. If you're not interested in this, you don't have to say it, or you can just say it with everybody else. The words are as not important as the attitude of the heart. But if you have a desire to connect and to flow in this, then I want you to repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that it is your will for me to bear fruit. You want me to be fruitful in my family, in my relationships, in my health, in my job, in my studies, in my neighborhood, in every good thing. You want me to prosper, and I believe that. So I'm asking you that you give me understanding and that you give me revelation so that I can be a doer of your word and not just a hearer. And I can see that fruit abounding in my life, and it brings glory to your name.